We're back to for episode 193,
Yes,
right?
it is 193. Tim, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Joe. How are you doing?
It's just a perfect day here. California is going to move from purple to, I think, chartreuse or something in a few days. Newsom has decreed, and this will enable like five people to go into an exercise facility. So there's really just, you know, everything is moving in the right direction. I have actually been surprised because I was, as you know, I was very concerned about the dark winter concept, what that might mean. But I have been surprised and heartened by the states that are going completely ending the lockdown, you know, particularly Texas and Mississippi. I mean, there is no COVID specific requirements now. You can wear a mask if you want. You don't have to open your business, but everything basically is open up. And, you know, we were talking before we started recording, and, you know, we pointed out that if Texas, Mississippi, and Florida are able to have no dramatic, you know, increase in the pseudovirus, then the adjoining states are going to have a hard time staying in any kind of lockdown at all, and then this whole thing could spread quickly.
How would it? I wonder how the COVIDians or the pod people would respond to this.
Well, they responded, of course, by Biden called them Neanderthals, which is quite shocking. I mean, for Biden to criticize another person's mental facility is just. I mean, you just, this is the clown world, but I just don't know what to say. But it, you know, in the case of Florida, they've already been open for some time.
Yeah.
And you can look at the data and they're not doing any worse than the fascist lockdown state. So what's the point? I am worried, though. I also mentioned to you before we started that really what is at issue right now is the vaccine, and the vaccine will continue perhaps even faster. It's hard to say in states that are not locked down, but that is the I think the thing that really we have to put the most scrutiny toward and the most concern about.
Yeah, how do they maintain the urgency of the vaccine? I know they're trying to do that. There's still a lot of hesitancy out there, as they call it. When you have states opening up, you know, prior to any mass immunization, if they, you know, they call it, or mass programming, you still have the majority of the population not getting the jab, but they're opening up. So how do they maintain the necessity for it?
I have no idea.
I guess if it made sense, the whole thing never would have happened. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that have to be logical, I guess.
And particularly when there is, you know, there's both the vaccine resistance, as they call it, you know, people that are just calling it out as potentially malevolent, and then there's also just the adverse events,
yes,
and reactions to the thing that are becoming legendary. There's just, you know, it's hard to say, the data is just impossible to get clarity regarding, but thousands of people are either dead or seriously.
They heard 400 over 400 in the United Kingdom are dead.
Yeah. But of course, you know, how do you actually relate the fatalities when you have millions of people involved in something? It's sort of, they can hide behind the confusion, but regardless, there is, people are aware of this possibility, and the vaccine resistance is pretty nuggety. I have heard more hospitals are struggling getting, you know, fractions of people to, large fractions to accept the vaccination. And so, you know, we're just going to come to this really interesting historical moment. It's just, you know, an amazing point in history where, imagine in a couple months you've got 50% of the nation vaccinated and the other 50 says no.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. You know, think of the political pressure that they're going to have to kind of bring to bear against the group that won't. The people who won't take it are pretty stubborn. They're the you know, kind of the independent media individuals.
The Neanderthal white supremacists.
Neanderthals, they're stubborn, and so I don't know. I so now if they don't do it, Well, here's the problem, Tim, is that if this thing is a bioweapon that's been really expertly designed, it would be able to be inserted into people and then not really bring about the high level of lethality or, stupefaction or whatever, the actual bioweapon intent is for at least a year, because you need all that time to vaccinate the world, right? I mean, if this is the Georgia Guidestones, I mean, think about what's his name, Ted Turner, his talk on demographics, his statement on demographics, where he said, we've got to reduce the population dramatically by more than 50%, and we can't do it in the future. We have to do it right now. So this is a Davos insider. I mean, this is underlining the Georgia Guidestones. So when you think of the vaccine,
Ted, start. Kill yourself.
well, of course, yeah, please.
Well, they don't look at it that way. I mean,
No,
did you see that
no.
interview with I guess it was Anderson Cooper with Bill Gates, and he got, I guess, up close and personal with Mr. Gates, and Mr. Gates was explaining, his various programs, and explained that the interview explained that the overwhelming amount of scientists believe that global warming, climate change is happening, and you got to reduce the CS gases. Bill Gates says down to zero, which I don't know how you can do that when, of course, we live in the atmosphere is convection. It's CS or carbon monoxide or dioxide rather feeds the plants produce oxygen, and it's a give and take or feedback system there. So if you reduce the amount of carbon dioxide to zero, you won't have any oxygen. At least that's my understanding how it works. But nevertheless, this interview, he just typical softball interview. There's no, as Bill Gates talks about, the problems of resource scarcity and overpopulation and global warming, and he's going through all these nifty little products like types of cement that he's invested in or food he's invested in. And of course, he's advocating programs that automatically make the things he's invested in very profitable. It's funny how that works. His political
Yeah.
activism, his philanthropy profits his business, his businesses, his investments. It's very funny how that works, like vaccines. But nowhere in the interview does Anderson Cooper question him, if indeed the world is overpopulated and we can't continue at the current pace. Where do you get off having a 66,000 square foot mansion, a fleet of sports cars, helicopters, private four, as many as four private jets? He has sand delivered from, I think, from the I don't know, from Hawaii to his lakefront.
Yeah,
It's like you think some of these questions would be asked in an interview. You're making all these claims that all this pretty much austerity for all of humanity, but then he's living in this, living like Crassus. I mean, it's something else.
it is something else. I mean, it's just bold face hypocrisy. And of course, he's promoting the vaccines just every which way he can, which is very suspicious.
And the fungi meat.
Yeah.
And the
Yeah.
fungi
He's
meat.
a big investor in Soylent, purple, whatever it is. It's,
It's Soylent Green, that's what.
yeah. Yeah. So, he's just too hideous to really even merit a response. He should be analyzed just for, the power and how he manipulates or how he's part of
In
it.
the
But he,
meantime,
as an individual, he's just disgusting.
he's bought up a quarter of a million of acres of farmland in the United States.
Yeah.
And so this person who's advocates, retooling or changing the diet of humanity into this lab-grown meat, it's almost like it's you could print out the meat, 3D printing food, if you will. He's buying up farmland and concentrating, his control of the food, whether it's agriculture, livestock, food development, distribution. Someone should take notice of this, so that this monopolist is going to monopolize him and a few others are going to monopolize the food system. They'll be in a position to impose these things on humanity, and it'll just the same way that that social media looks like the free market. This will be the free market,
Yeah, and isn't it strange? He just cares so much about the health of humanity. I mean, he's always crying in his pink sweater, about we've got to get these vaccinations out in order to save people. And then his farmland is all like producing the most toxic crap any human could possibly eat. It's just glyphosate, insecticides. There's not a healthy plant that comes out of that whole thing. And you wonder, well, wait a second, Bill. How come, on one hand you want us to vaccinate to be healthy, on the other end you're giving us these toxic chemical laden plants to eat? It seems contradictory.
Because he buys, he more or less bought the World Health Organization, and this is all part of the Davos Project. It's a public-private partnership. So these organizations, these agencies that we look, whether it's the CDC, the World Health Organization, or Johns Hopkins, these universities that I think are, that were just presented as areas of research, scholarship, knowledge. These are all controlled. They're all bought out, and they all do the bidding of the oligarchs. Yet they're presented to us as experts and authorities and public health experts and public health officials, and they all have connection back to these oligarchs. And you can, the irony is that they say we have to worship science. We have to trust the science, follow the science. Of course, all the scientists are shills for a college dropout who became a multi-billionaire marketing a crappy software system that he stole.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem. It's one that we all experience, every day. The attempt to mentally control us, since the internet came out and the hoi polloi started to fiddle with it, and then suddenly started to exchange ideas, and then once the Kennedy assassination created some information that could be circulated. Gary Wills, with Dark Alliance, set up kind of the independent media with his expose of the CIA. And then along comes 9-1-1. And now hoi polloi are just sitting there with this tool and they start exchanging all this information. And this does not appear to have been something that they actually had analyzed very clearly, because when you look at the whack-a-mole attempts that are going on now to stop thought, and to stop thinking, they really are not particularly, sophisticated. They just seem like they might be able to keep someone who is very dim from, and established in the kind of mainstream media reality, from moving anywhere. But they certainly can't have any impact on people who were already interested in the independent media. And I really not even sure that the stuff they're putting out, we talked about this New York Times opinion piece called "Don't Go Down the Rabbit Hole," which I highly recommend people read. It's online, because it is an obvious representation of really what we're experiencing everywhere, with all of the control over history and universities and scientism. It's all basically contained, or presented in the article "Don't Go Down the Rabbit Hole," which has just a classic kind of byline: "Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping in the fight against misinformation." So this is great. I mean, literally, an attack against critical thinking, because it's not helping fight against misinformation, which of course the New York Times is in a position to know one from the other, right? If you stand back for a second, you can see this is obviously sophistry. It's a kind of mind control. I'm sure there's technical propaganda people that help construct these articles. But just, I mean, anyone who looks at Building 7 collapse symmetrically, right, would know that this guy who's writing it is full of crap, right? I mean, it's just, you couldn't possibly write this kind of an article if you were even worried about, that the laws of physics seem to have been violated by the government's, description of reality of that day, right? So since they so this is the thing, is that there's a kind of dividing line, and it's moving, and it's not moving in their direction. And so they're trying now with these kinds of articles to whack-a-mole people back into under their control. But it's fascinating how the article actually talks about what you should do if you're tempted to go to a, you know, to something which isn't a piece of information that New York Times would approve of. The realities are, Sam Weinberg, a professor at Stanford, that he argued the best way to learn about a source of information is to leave it and look elsewhere. And now he has named this concept lateral reading. He says, so that he says, for instance, imagine you were to visit Stormfront, a white supremacist message board, and try to understand racist claims in order to debunk them.
So he picks the most provocative extreme example.
Okay. Even if you see through the horrible rhetoric, at the end of the day, you gave the place however many minutes of your time. So even with good intentions, you run the risk of misunderstanding something because Stormfront users are way better at propaganda than you. Gee, I think they're as good as the New York Times, Tim. So you won't get less racist reading Stormfront critically, but you might be overloaded by information and overwhelmed. So he says that what you need to do, he says, is to they actually have a little like kind of like a 10-step program to stop you from thinking. You stop, you investigate the source, and then you find better coverage. And trace claims, quotes, and media to the original context. They call it shift. And he gives the example of Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah,
you know, he says,
he's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, this is an example. He says, okay, so there's an Instagram post from Robert Kennedy, and it falsely alleging a link between the human papillomavirus vaccine and cancer.
Just for instance.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, anyway, if this is not a claim where I have a depth of understanding, then I want to stop for a second and before going further, just investigate the source. And so he goes, he says he copied Mr. Kennedy's name in the Instagram post and popped it into Google.
There you go.
Look how fast this is. In just 15 seconds, he went to Wikipedia. And there on Wikipedia, he read that Mr. Kennedy is an anti-vaccine activist and a conspiracy theorist. Therefore, is Robert Kennedy Jr. the best unbiased source on information about a vaccine? Well, I'd argue no. And that's good enough to know we should probably just move on.
Now, well, come on. Is Robert Kennedy Jr. the only source? I mean, it's like, no, it's one of many you can go to. That's obvious. It's ridiculous. Why would Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of Bobby Kennedy, be a conspiracy theorist?
I know. Shocking, isn't it? Yeah.
What would drive him to think that maybe things aren't exactly as they appear, as it presented to us in the mainstream media? I don't know, maybe the death of his father?
Or the fact that it was a conspiracy.
You think it was a conspiracy? Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So it goes on, and it just – you know, they talk about another professor.
No, I wonder if Stormfront got a big uptick in their going to their website from this article.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be. Well, the New York Times probably runs it anyway, but.
Oh, I know. It's like, for instance, it's Stormfront.
So, so it's just that what they're trying to do is they say, you know, if the students are the one professor who's using this as it's an actual pedagogy. One professor at a university is actually teaching this. Mm-hmm. She goes, the students are confused when I try to, when I tell them to try and trace something down with a quick Wikipedia search because they're not going to do it. Not for research papers, but if you're trying to find out if a site is legitimate or if somebody has a history as a conspiracy theorist and you show them how to follow the paper citation, it's quick and effective, which means it's more likely to be used. Well, gee, Google and Wikipedia, Tim, I mean, they're like a reality czar, aren't they? You don't need to do any critical thinking. You just need to know how to Google, Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's funny they use that term conspiracy theorist, which is kind of coined by the CIA to throw off or discourage researchers into the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s uncle, and, the people who are looking into that and some of the problems with the official narrative of that event. And now they use this term as a term of abuse to dissuade or discourage anyone looking to get dig deeper in some of these into some of these deep events, as they're called, assassinations, false flag terrorism, terrorist attacks, deep state events. So they use that to just that's going to work with a lot of people, I suppose. So it's also going to turn a lot of people off because that term now isn't quite the negative connotation that it once had because things have gotten so out of hand or so obvious in the past 20 years. I like this. For instance, Robert F. Kennedy, who's doing yeoman's work, battling the vaccine issue, particularly the COVID-19 issue, and also the COVID-19 vaccine, but also the lockdown itself. It's a Kennedy name's a big name in American politics. The fact that they can kind of marginalize or disparage it so nonchalantly says a lot. You think that name would have a lot of cachet. Oh, Kennedy is saying this. It's, Jonathan Turley recently had a piece about the Capitol Hill event equating it to Pearl Harbor, but not in the way that they were equating it to. He said Chuckie Schumer called it the new Pearl Harbor. He said in a way it was because the event was set up. And so you have law professor Jonathan Turley, very mainstream. He talks about how Admiral Kimmel and General Short were set up. They knew the attack was coming to draw the country into the war, and he's saying this is how it is a Pearl Harbor because it was set up because what's coming out about the event was, that Sitnik wasn't killed with a fire extinguisher. By the way, New York Times reported that in detail. Our realities are.
Right.
They reported that in detail about head wounds and all this. And it turns out it's completely made up. So the question goes, where'd you get the story for the details? What were your sources? What were your trusted sources? So obviously it was just made up, and it was made up, and it was actually cited during the second impeachment hearing as a reason for impeaching Donald Trump, who was no longer president. But this is the New York Times, and no one's calling it out, saying, "Well, where'd you reported this? What were your sources?" It's completely BS. The guy apparently died of a stroke the next day, for some reason, but it wasn't any blunt force trauma or attack. They were like trying to go after people for murder, but they couldn't find anybody who was responsible because the guy wasn't murdered. So this is the New York Times, the paper that's published in this article about. Not going down the rabbit hole. So what does that tell you? I
I mean, the
mean,
New York Times is, I think, sort of like 911, one of
yeah.
the key dividing points that, people in our clown world bifurcate upon. You have, I mean, if, I would think a lot of the people who support the New York Times are just part of the guild, part of the secret society. They know perfectly well that it's just a propaganda piece. And then there are its victims, which I think are, the vast majority of its readers are victims, people who believe it. They think they're reading about history or, events. They don't understand that the thing is a tip-to-stern mind control device. But then on just the other side of that, people who have any skepticism at all, I mean, this article would provoke laughter.
Yes.
It isn't going to move anyone back into the cage.
The same way their realities are did.
Yeah, just like the realities are,
Yeah.
exactly. It's just something that you would lampoon. And so you
Well,
wonder.
there is one paragraph in that article you were reading.
Yeah.
It's just so sift. It was that process or
The
method of
Sith, yes.
the sift method is the antidote for misinformation. Here's the sift is not an antidote to misinformation. Poor media literacy is just one component of a broader problem that includes more culpable actors like politicians, platforms, and conspiracy peddlers. If powerful, influential people with the ability to command vast quantities of attention use the power to warp reality and platforms don't intervene, no mnemonic device can stop them. Now, who are these powerful people who are warping reality? It's not
I thought you were talking about the New York
New
Times.
York Times and CNN and Hollywood, and it's the electron, it's the establishment media, which is all of that. I mean, it's,
Yeah.
but
And
I
just
mean.
think of the, in 19 in 2000, think of the power of the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time Magazine, the major networks. They had 98, 99% of America's consciousness under control, I would estimate. But now I would be shocked if they had 60% under control. And I mean, the independent media has been that effective at attacking the sophistry, exposing it as sophistry. And articles like this indicate to me that they really don't know what to do about the problem. I mean, this article is simply pathetic. And I don't think it puts anyone moves anyone back toward the cage. I'm not even sure it keeps people from leaving. It's just too silly. So, we're coming to this critical moment here. It's going to be interesting. The vaccine rollout will hit a, at some point it's going to hit a stop sign, which is all the low-hanging fruit have accepted it. I don't know what that fraction is going to be, 50, 60%, but the rest have, are going to say no to it. And I think that the large majority of them, I wouldn't be surprised, are going to be very stubborn. You can threaten them with losing jobs and things like this, because this is already happening, and you can actually see. And I've talked to people who are saying, that they just said the hell with it. If, once they, once people get it in their mind that it could be damaging, the power to intimidate them is gone. They're more worried about their body and their future than they are, a job or a government entity or the New York Times,
Or
browbeating it.
social status, or
Yeah, exactly. And so once that once the low hanging fruit have has succumbed, boy, oh boy, this is really going to be an interesting moment to see what happens, because they'll try. I think I'm sure they have ideas. The travel passport, if you want to go see an NBA game, they're having all they have all of these kind of enforcements that will be dependent on vaccine passport. But that's this is going to enrage and embolden, I think, the people who, they're certainly not going to, you're not going to talk someone who's worried about genetic engineering for a malevolent purpose. You're not going to talk him into taking a vaccine with the idea of being able to see a Laker game.
No. They're not going to be too worried about that, and they've killed professional sports anyway.
Right. Yeah, I know. They should have done something about that
I mean,
before.
just should maybe these people aren't infallible. One thing is they're stricken with hubris, and when they do things like that, the main method of control. One thing is the public schools and entertainment, and they've sports, and they stopped that to create the. They had to do it because you couldn't have those things and maintain and the narrative of a pandemic that was warranted shutting down the world economy, but they needed that for their reset and their financial shenanigans that were that was going down in August when the when it was decided to do this pull this thing off. Paul K. Robinson wrote a piece about this last week. As New York Times tells readers, thinking is dangerous, just believe us. New York Times advises you not to think. Thinking requires using your unreliable brain and will lead you into conspiracy theories. Just believe whatever the New York Times tells you and you will have an approved source of information. New York Times regards its own propaganda as truth. You remember the violent insurrection at the Capitol in which Trump supporters were responsible for five deaths. One of the last deaths was Capitol Hill policeman Brian Sicknick, who was allegedly beat to death with a fire extinguisher. Well, here are the facts, according to Sicknick's mother and father. The mother of the Capitol Hill police officer, Brian Sicknick, said her son was not beaten with a fire extinguisher by a mob on January 6, saying he likely suffered a stroke, instead refuting reports from New York Times and other outlets claiming otherwise. He wasn't hit on the head. No, we think he had a stroke. He goes, New York Times fake news that Sicknick was beat to death by a protester was cited by utterly by the utterly corrupt Democrat impeachment managers, an argument that former President Donald Trump was responsible and should be convicted in the Senate. The fake news has also been used by the Democrats and prostitutes to support claims that the new domestic terrorism laws are needed to restrain Trump's deplorables from murdering people. All this based on a lie from New York Times, The Lie Machine. Three of the alleged deaths from the violent insurrection were natural deaths from people who were with preconditions. The remaining death was of course, the white female veteran who was shot and killed. I cannot think of
If you
one.
believe that
Yeah,
cartoon.
yeah. I cannot think of one incident that the 21st century the American media has accurately reported. Not 9/11, not Saddam Hussein's weapon of mass destruction, Iranian nukes, Assad's use of chemical weapons, Libya, Russian invasions, Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, Julian Assange, Ed Snowden, the 2020 election, the Trump rally, George Floyd's death, the invasions, bombings, ruinations of seven countries in the Middle East and North Africa. So they're all lies.
Well, and also the
Yeah.
BLM, mostly peaceful
Yes,
protests.
that whole that thing. I mean, they're going to lecture us and give us strategies to how to critically think and work through these events, understand the world, just by not thinking too much about something, do a quick search and move on.
So they're sunk. It's just a question of can they destroy us before enough of us, come to our senses that we can have a political power, because they are sunk. They cannot keep this, this ideas of, don't use, your brain, stop critical thinking, believe in the government's description of 911. I mean, these things are, gee, they're really not cutting. I think with anyone who's looking at it with any kind of clarity of mind, and so that of course makes me concerned about the vaccine because this would this condition of the transformation, sort of an inevitable transformation that's taking place, would be something that they would try to stop mechanically. And killing us would be one of way of doing it, or making us so stupefied. I mean, who knows what the mischief is possible with these things. I wanted just to digress for 1 second. I looked at the Johnson and Johnson vaccine, and just would there are some sort of people are describing it as the healthy alternative to the the mRNA vaccines, right? But this is just preposterous. It's simply a gene therapy in the same way that the mRNA vaccines are. It just uses a different approach, but it definitely gets into your cells and manipulates your DNA. And I mean, that's the only way they can create this artificial spike protein.
Yeah.
And in the 2002 SARS epidemic, where they had the first attempts to develop genetically modified vaccines for SARS, they had this type available. This is actually is a type that's been used for other things for years. So they had the so-called the AD26 type, the DNA type, and they also had the mRNA type. And both of them ultimately produced the exact opposite effect, and they had to end the trials because so many of the people and animals in the trials were dying. So the paranoid concern I have is that they learned from that. They learned the wrong thing. What they perfected from that was a long-term period before, which incidentally, just to digress again, this occurred in the first, in the 2002, 2004 experiments they were doing. They thought at first that they were producing antigens that were, just wonderful, and that these vaccines were really going to take care of SARS. But then, after a while, an exposure to other viruses, you started having the body develop an autoimmune response. And so my concern about the vaccines they're giving us, particularly in you know the ones that are coming out under which are all of them under the Emergency Authorization Act, where there's no long-term trials, no animal trials that are should go on for years. Since there's none of that, we may be looking at a technology that can be put into us and then doesn't have the death blow delivered for years. And so this is, you know, this is what I'm afraid of. And I, you know, I mean, again, the inside these things is not something I can look. I can only, you know, express my concern.
Well, and you know, when this happens, let's say if that does happen and people start having the cytokine reaction, they call it, they'll just blame it on a new strain,
Exactly.
you know, and oh, it's the third or fourth strain, and you know, it's no, it's nothing to do, you know, with the vaccine that they took, the two doses, whatever. And Bill Gates has already said there might be three doses or four doses that are necessary every year, twice a year, you know.
Well, they could give us more vaccinations to help us, you know. So,
And this
you know,
goes,
we're
this takes us back to the cult of vaccinations in general. And Robert F. Kennedy recently wrote an edit, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently wrote an editorial just charting how, you know, the decline in these diseases, the morbidity and mortality rate occurred pretty much, the 96% of the decline occurred before 1950, before the introduction, the mass rollout of vaccinations. It had more to do with social, economic reasons and not medical reasons. So that's another thing that people have to understand is they've been completely misinformed, been fed propaganda about the not only the safety but also the effectiveness of vaccines. It's completely, almost a complete inversion of reality.
I just see them as mind control, and they've always been mind control, and they were just developed as a concept to have people accept the government inserting chemicals under their skin. I mean, Jenner, who came up with the absurd smallpox vaccination concept, was a huge Freemason. He was actually the physician to the king. So this is the worst possible place to develop this kind of a technique out of, I mean, a Masonic cesspool, literally. And so I think that you know, when you look at the you know the graphs that you're referring to, which show that the vast majority of the decline in mortalities from these diseases has other causes, it just demonstrates, well, then why do they keep pumping these things down our throats and under our skins? Well, I think we can, you know, unfortunately, we can see now they've always had in mind to destroy us with them.
Yeah, and also the medical system itself becomes a harvesting extraction system. You know, it's and but you know, basically they can tax you when you're working, and then when you retire, your savings it'll be devoted to health care because you'll be have chronic illnesses as you approach late middle age and become old because of the effects of the food you've been eating, the toxins you've been exposed to, and also the medical care that you've been fed, which is slowly poisoning you, and under the guise of managed care. It's or you know, the idea is you're constantly, you know, you have, you know, three or four dozen medical visits a year. You're constantly being poked, prodded, you know, and jabbed, and you gotta be, you know, see a physician, a doc, expert, these things. You know, basically, you know, the food system, the food distribution production system, the medical system, they all produce downstream profits. And then I don't, you can also get rid of the older population. I mean, you know, Governor Cuomo is in trouble now. Well, you have the scandal with the nursing home where he I guess undercounted the amount of deaths by 50% to cover it up. And they admitted he did it because he didn't want to get criticized by Donald Trump. It's like, that's an excuse. But he also, you know, got rid of 13% of the nursing care population, which is a big savings, you know. So, I mean, you're thinking, why are they doing this? And you know, this is being reported as if sick people going in the nurse, people with COVID are going in the nursing homes and getting everyone sick. And the way I look at it, that's sort of a misrepresentation because these people weren't necessarily getting COVID. They're dying because they were neglected they're ill weak
Well,
anyway, you
isn't
know.
it an MO, Tim? I mean, isn't Whitmer being charged with the same thing now?
There's a similar scandal in Michigan. She paid the former health public health director $150,000 to leave, and there was a confidentiality agreement, which I don't think, how does that obtain to a public position? But nevertheless, hush money, it appears. There's a similar scandal in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, with Dr. Levine presided over a similar scandal with nursing, putting sick people in with nursing, crowding nursing homes with people. And,
Dick
you know, it,
Levine?
Dick Levine, yeah, Dr. Dick
Oh,
Levine.
okay. Yeah.
The and a lot of these, the nursing, they were overwhelmed and they're understaffed, and you combine neglect with isolation, you get a lot of death. You have, you know, the failure to thrive, as they call it. That's actually a condition in these nursing homes. Failure to thrive. And,
Right. Yeah.
you know, except I've cited one case where one person's father was 95 years old. He was cut off of his family because of COVID, and he died of dehydration, but they called it COVID. Now, how does an elderly man die of dehydration? He's neglected because he can't get water himself. He's too old. And, you know, you create these conditions in these retirement homes, nursing homes. Yes, you're going to have a lot of people dying, not to mention just because of the psychological effect or the medical care they're being given to combat the virus, you know.
Well, if I understand Whitmer's situation, it is the same thing that Cuomo did and
I think
Christie.
Whitmore actually put in, like, used it to put younger people in too, to
Yeah,
house,
but they were
quarantine them.
infected, and she
Yeah.
put them into places where they were old, vulnerable people,
Yeah.
and so she got the body count up, which is, of course. But my point is that this is hard to imagine that all of these governors would spontaneously have this kind of moral collapse. This looks more and more like an MO. It's
Yeah.
the operating principle of all of the governors to create a high body count for the purpose of justifying the lockdown.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is something people need to be aware of,
Because
so
this is with
they.
the population that's most vulnerable. Assuming this thing is
Yeah.
actually out there, let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say that it's out there. There's something out there, and it, obviously, it primarily affected elderly people, and so then you create this situation. Doesn't make any
Right.
sense.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're up the body count, create the fear level. Yes. You
Yeah, I mean,
need
think
to,
about it. So Cuomo creates all these bodies by moving sick people into the retirement homes, but at the same time that just preposterous and absurd destruction of people is going on, the hospitals are empty. Right? I mean, in other words, these two events are contradictory and can only be explained by the idea that Cuomo was deliberately creating a body count from a fake pandemic in order to make people frightened so that he justify his lockdown.
Just a lockdown. And, you know, of course, coupled with the fact that hospitals were paid to have COVID patients. So every patient they have, that they're allowed to have, is going to be classified a COVID patient. You know, more money to put people on ventilators was killed. Over 90% of people put on ventilators die from it. And then you have people who, you know, if you're doing it at an increased rate, you have people who aren't experienced in doing it. And of course, going on a ventilator is a very delicate process. It's not just a tube put in your mouth. I mean, it's shoved down your mouth. You're given all types of drugs. You know, you're immobile, which aggravates it. It creates the conditions for you know, opportunistic infection. Happens all the
Look,
time. It just, you know.
I mean, here's what ventilators are devices to create an invoice before the family gets there. I
Yeah,
mean,
because the expression, it's on a ventilator, right? What does that mean? Yeah.
I mean, you do not. I mean, the people. I don't know what the percentage of people that comes off those things, but sort of like the percentage of people that come out of hospice care. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just very, very rare. But they can rack up huge dollar amounts, during in the process. And of course, with a complete disregard for the consciousness of the patients. I mean, think of how invasive and, well, I mean, you have to have the patient must be unconscious, right? You
Yeah.
cannot have someone, conscious. So you have to anesthetize them, which of course is a very, very damaging thing to the body and is the last thing you'd want to do to someone who's gravely ill. But nevertheless, let's just do it, stuff the tube down the throat and crank up the invoice. I mean, you cannot, I just don't know what to say about America's medical care. It is so atrocious and so malevolent, and yet people need it, for particularly for triage and, broken bones and stuff. But how do you find someone that isn't evil? Because the in the same way that 911 exposed the universities as a network of evil, right? That's the only way you could pull this off, because if that wasn't the case, there would have been a reaction from the universities about the physics of the fall. The universities would have banded together to expose the government.
Yeah, and the few
Back,
people of academia who did
they kicked them
broach that
out.
top, were kicked them out.
Yeah. So
Kicked out.
this exposed, that this the universities are a system of Masonic evil, Judaic Masonic evil, and COVID has exposed the AMA and the medical profession in that way, because, I mean, we've gone over it enough times. We don't have to any again. But there's so much just obvious falseness in the government claims about the epidemic, that if there was real medical concern about humanity in the AMA, they would have come out against it. They would have said, okay, look, we got it. We got to expose the PCR test as having a, false positive over 95%, because the governors are all using the case numbers to keep the lockdown going. The AMA is going to have a press conference and alert the public that there's something wrong inside the government. It doesn't happen. So you can just see AMA, CDC, the WHO. It's just a network of evil.
But then we're told the big issue is Andrew Cuomo asking or hitting on a few of his underlings, women, two or three women. And this is where we're supposed to be outraged about, not the destruction of New York State's economy, of hundreds of tens of thousands of businesses and hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs lost. Thousands of deaths, unnecessary deaths because of incompetence or malevolence. But we're no, it's apparently he was suggesting to some of his female underlings that he's attracted to that they should go out sometime. This is the scandal. It's I guess you got to have your priorities.
I mean, well, isn't he married?
No, he had a he has a girlfriend. He used to be married. I think he married into the Kennedy family.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, married into the Kennedy family. Then he got a divorce, and then I guess he had some long-term girlfriend he's living with, and then that ended, and now he's a bachelor again. So girls,
Yeah,
you're out
in case
there,
you're genocidal murders or, something that's attractive to
But
you,
it's
he's
funny that,
available.
that yeah he it's funny because he was they touted him as being a leader and I guess national political figure and all of a sudden like on a dime it changed it's for a lot of the scandals that we were talking about and all of a sudden these things get attention
Yeah, they run a nice dramatic production to keep us, bamboozled. I mean, Dick Levine's, becomes a media darling, and it's just disorienting as can be. This is the clown world, and it's being exposed one day at a time. I think more and more people are just seeing it as propaganda, are becoming aware of propaganda, but it's a race against the vaccine, in my opinion. How deadly is the thing? We before the show we talked about the different theories about the vaccine, and one of them is that this one is not particularly deadly, that it's just a really a nothing burger, in terms of murdering the population. It's just to get us used to genetic engineering ourselves, right? I mean, these guys think long term, and that certainly is a possibility. I mean, how do you know? It's not logical to me, though, because they're accelerating the process by which people are leaving the cage and moving into the light, with COVID and stuff. So this would seem to me to be the time to really try to reduce the population, to go, Georgia Guidestone on humanity and to take billions of them out. The resistance to it is critical. And one data point that I was heartened by was the number of people in the service that are not taking it. Yeah, really high fraction, like 3/4 of the soldiers are saying no.
It
They
was it one
can't.
quote he said it's not mandatory, so no one's taking it.
Yeah, they can't do it. See, this is the thing. It's they brought the vaccines out under the Emergency Authorization Act, which by law they cannot mandate. This vaccine cannot be mandated by the government. It's
Nor can you
actually.
do it if there's a even if a if there's an established treatment for something, you can't have like
Right.
mandatory vaccines for something because there's alternative ways to deal with it, which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, this but they have the low-hanging fruit and they have the temptation of getting back to normal. And of course, they can continue to bring out variations of this, which they can bring out under normal conditions with their safety trials and just keep vaccinating everyone as we go forward.
Well, they can
I
just
mean,
declare periodic pandemics without anything real. Let's have it interpret like they did last year, right? I mean, right? I mean, there's no excess death occurred last year, despite the 500,000 number we're given. Deaths are pretty much the same as they were. In fact, they're less than were in 2018. So how do you account? How do you say there are 500,000 deaths from this thing? When of course flu deaths and the flu just disappeared this year, but they can now, it just goes back to be able to create the narrative or spin reality just with the media and with propaganda. You can just take any normal year, any cold and flu season, call it something else and scare the bejeebers out of people and murder a bunch of people in retirement homes and, shut down events, ban concerts, close schools, and people think there's a pandemic, make them wear a mask, and people think there's a pandemic and now have to go get a shot.
One person that I'm in communication with in Oregon, he thought he might be able to get his hands on some units of the vaccine. And I didn't at that time really know, what to do with them. He asked me if I had, like a doctor. I think now I would have someone I would be able to use. I won't mention his name, of course, but he might be able to actually do some kind of genetic analysis. But one individual who has stated that she would be able to do it is Dolores Cahill. She's the Irish doctor and scientist. And she is very frightened of what the potentials of these vaccines are, and she has publicly stated that we need to create a repository of them so we can analyze them. And she said that she would to determine if there is, what exactly is inside these things, because she was saying there could be, there would be additional mRNA strands that could create other reactions, which could turn the body into an autoimmune factory,
Well, that's
and
how it was described to me. That would be my first concern, is that this would make you overreact or react to things ordinarily you have no symptoms to, because it has that spike protein. And this is what happened with some of the lab animals, didn't it? That they gave it to. They all of a sudden they reacted to other viruses and microbes that they ordinarily wouldn't react to, at least would be asymptomatic, and they died. And so now because it triggers autoimmune and conventional vaccines some people and I think that they do have that effect. They create autoimmune disorders. I mean, if you look at chronic health problems that people have, particularly young people,
Autism.
autism and whether it's eczema, autism, allergies, some people think even Crohn's disease and these things that these things have.
Absolutely.
And people, these things have increased considerably in the past 30 years as the vaccine schedule has increased. Ordinary, we never, I mean, I didn't know anyone who had peanut allergy when I was a kid. It was a rarity. Yeah, I didn't know any. You could bring peanut butter to school and not worry
Tim,
about
I'm
it.
so old, there wasn't any autism.
Exactly.
There was no
Wasn't it
autism.
discovered in the late 30s or something? So how does that come about?
And then so clearly there's toxicity, and this isn't genetic popping up. I mean, this is toxicity, and so this is what we have to be concerned about here. It's that serious.
With other diseases, like John Rapoport wrote an article about Ebola, how and he was talking about how if you look, this sort of this exotic disease, this virus coming out of deep heart of Africa. It's very scary sounding. You have all these symptoms, but all these symptoms are exact sounds like a lot of other diseases you have when you suffer from malnutrition or exposure to pesticides or toxins and hemorrhaging and even some form of antibiotics cause
Well,
it.
remember the Zika virus
Yes.
fiasco, where they were saying that there was all this
Yeah.
microcephalic children, and it just disappears as soon as people go in there and change the diet and start reducing the toxicity.
It has to do with the pesticides, the spraying. Then they spray for mosquitoes to knock down Zika when it's not the cause. But then they kill like a million bees, which then all of a sudden you don't have the pollinators, and that
There's a
screws
lot
that.
more than a million, and I mean it was just a complete biological disaster.
But they
Yes,
scared women. They told
so
women not to have babies. They even had flotillas of floating abortion clinics, scaring women because their
that's right,
babies
yeah.
would, but it was all a hoax. It was like nothing. They found like was a Zika virus was found out of 894 cases, was found in 95 cases, which is proof that it isn't the cause of microcephaly. But there are other causes. Any trauma or shock to a mother when she's pregnant can cause it. Any assault, and part of that assault is our pesticides that they're spraying, or the toxins, or the diet people have. It had nothing to do with a virus. But again, this gave Bill Gates an excuse to experiment in genetically modified mosquitoes. It's like,
So, so it's a toxic world. It's a clown world. You have to have your wits about you. I would hope that people try to organize families and groups to resist the vaccine. It's just the case. You can't take a vaccine that does not have safety trials associated with it. And I mean, I'm not talking about the toxicity stuff that they did over like a few months. I mean, a generation of trial data, so you can be absolutely sure there isn't going to be an autoimmune response. This all looks very, very suspicious to me, Tim. It's very, very suspicious that you have the crisis of COVID, which is artificial, of course, and then the crisis of the rushed vaccination, being brought into our world, and now Operation Warp Speed to inoculate everyone. It just seems so logical that, in 2 years you're going to see the whole human race drop like flies from some kind of autoimmune disorder. It seems very logical, and so people should try to resist it. So the question is how to do this. I tried to, within like some of my, because I'm come from a huge family. I just asked some of my siblings about this, and I was surprised. I mean, it's binary. Either they are 100% opposed, and there's no way you could, like, under gunpoint get them to take it, or they're working in the vaccination clinic to help the old people, get the jab. And you can't talk either one out of it. It's a strange thing. And so I don't know. What do you think? Is there any, there's so many. Kind of the internet is just abuzz with lots and lots of kind of compendiums of the dangers of the vaccine and of the falseness of the epidemic. It's really a question of just if someone has that, is ready to move in, is either already there in the independent media or is ready to make the transition. I think more and more people will be ready as the vaccine rolls out, because the COVID rationale is obviously becoming more and more exposed as fake, and the fact that they're opening up whole states now, that's taking away from the need, the anxiety to go forward quickly. So it's just time everyone has to work hard, push forward as best you can, and try to get as many people to resist. And if you have a group, send letters to the supervisors, the local politicians, just telling them, look, defend us.
Yeah, and it goes,
Do
there is that
something.
effort in Germany, that lawyer Fulmich is trying to do a Nuremberg style war crimes trial on the perpetrators of this hoax. That would be the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Gates, and his acolytes, and his
And that's a huge, army that's attempting, it's dozens of attorneys. It's well funded. And if you look at the anti-vax demonstrations in England and Spain and Italy, they're far more agitated and violent than anything that's going on in the US.
Yeah. Well, there should be some. I mean, if the COVID narrative or hoax collapses, there's got to be some accountability for it. You can't just say, well, move along now. It's over with. It's that's ancient history. Don't worry about it. No, I mean, 1 billion people have been thrown into poverty. I would have to say tens of millions, hundreds of millions are probably dying from starvation because of it. Around the world, and economies have been brought to the precipice of collapse. Debt has exploded, which I think is part of the, I think part of the plan. I think part of the reason why COVID was launched was the economic system had to be reset, and they needed a huge bailout. Now they got that, under the guise of the lockdown and the bailout, the $6 trillion bailout that Wall Street got last year, under the guise of COVID relief, and So if that collapsed, you'd like to see some accountability. I mean, for once, some accountability for these events, for these false flags that they pulled off that damaged so many people, harmed so many people. I was reading an article by Whitney Webb recently, and it was about how this year Davos, they were doing a drill of a hacking of the financial system, and they think SolarWinds thing might be a test run or something. And they'll blame the Russians or something. But they did a sort of like they did with Event 201. They had a similar war gaming thing scenario of the financial system being hacked and collapsing, and then they have to coordinate everything and rebuild it and start anew. And so now a some sort of computer virus or hack. Could be used as a pretext to reset the economy, whereas COVID failed to do this. Maybe they've gotten too much resistance, and maybe this is why you're seeing in these states open up. Maybe there's resistance, at that level, the mid-level political level. I'm guessing now, now they could use a collapse of the financial system through a hack. As a pretext, like all of a sudden all the financial rec collapses goes away or something. Oh no, we need all our banking records are gone, or now we need a new system, we need a new currency, digital currency, and they're war gaming this. So the same way that Event 201 foresaw the COVID-19, maybe this is being implemented or being run as a sort of a something that we may be facing that may actually happen in the following year. And
I think that it's very likely to happen, and I think it's going to be part of the stimulation to take the vaccine. I think the if the financial situation just is hacked and the currency goes to zero, I mean some biblical destruction of the world economy occurs. Now the government is in complete control of food and all of the resources. I mean Texas would have been just a drill. Part of the largesse that the government would extend is, the vaccine, and in fact, it would be mandatory because, if you want food, if you want any into the new financial world with, your government checks. I mean, notice that they're getting us used to getting these government checks. So this is, if you think of it 2 years down with, people are just used to it. The food system starts to go south, the governments are in complete control. You have to take the vaccine and eat the computer generated meat. It's just a ticket to the Georgia Guidestone, basically. Now it'll be very simple to get rid of, 7 billion people with that process.
And they're eating all that genetically modified food, all types of, I'm sure it's gonna be rich in soy. You know,
Yeah.
and be people aren't going to have the animal fats and the proteins they need to develop strong bodies, clear-minded thinking, and that's how you create a slave class that, that's going to be chronically ill all the time.
Well, Tim, I mean, I just see this interesting moment where they've killed off the brain dead. I mean, I don't mean to be cruel. Believe me, I have lots of friends and but in this group, but the people that bought into the government's narrative, right? And so they've all taken the vaccine. Now, what do they have? They've wrecked the economy, but what's left would be the people who refuse the vaccine, who would now have complete clarity on the motivation of the oligarchs. There wouldn't be any confusion. And of course, this group tends to be conspiracy theorists who are white nationalists and are heavily armed.
Well,
So,
that's why I have the UN declaring war on international white supremacy.
yes, exactly. So, but you can see that some of the scenarios get pretty bloody as you go forward. This is a little far afield to see into the future from, my living room like this, but I am concerned. I just expressed my honest concerns. I can easily see this happening. And then you'd have, then it would just be hand to hand, or drone to hand. I mean, we'd see what kind of technology they could bring against us. But certainly now they'd have real resistance. I mean, serious, kind of resistance after after the apocalypse.
Okay, Joe, I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think we covered it, Tim. This is going to be an exciting week coming up. Every week is just a revelation, isn't it, Chyna?
Yes, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens,
More
brother.
states open up.
Yeah, isn't it something? I mean, I was so concerned that they were really going to go hard-edged, with the lockdown, but just the opposite.
Another girl pops up claiming that Andrew Cuomo asked her out. I
This is something we should be like spending all of our time studying,
It's
Will the New York Times let us read about this, or is this something that is off limits?
Yes, it's true. It's should we should I just go to Wikipedia and Google and move on?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to work, Tim. I
Don't
think they're
spend
going
more
to.
than 15 minutes thinking about something.
Right, they actually have like time schedules of how to get away from the conspiracy theorists. I don't think this is going to work, buddy. I think they're way behind the curve, and if this is the best they got, nuts. They're, I mean, the revelation of the oligarchs is a lead pipe cinch from here on out. I'm telling you, it's just going to go forward. It might take, 10 years, 20, who knows,
Well, some of the
but it.
states are. I mean, Texas also, the governor there actually proposed a law against cancel culture, he called it, meaning that.
Yeah.
Go and Florida's doing the same thing. I think, was it South Dakota? Some other countries are doing it. Poland's considering this as well, is actually penalizing these high-tech social media companies for censorship.
I think
And.
banning Dr. Seuss was probably not a great idea.
Yeah,
I think
banning.
there could.
Well, yeah, someone sent me. So basically, the library that bans Dr. Seuss is hosting Drag Queen Story Hour. So
Exactly.
that's
Yeah.
the world we live
It's the world we live in. Well, anyway, I'm going to go read a Dr. Seuss book.
Yes, like green eggs and ham. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Tim, talk to you
Good
next week,
night. Take
buddy.
it easy. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.